You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hey, what's going on? Welcome to Built for the Stage. This is founder and host Joe Roscoe of Built for the Stage, Broadway's number one fitness platform. If you haven't tried Built for the Stage yet, go to builtforthestage.com. And we'll be on our way with a seven-day free trial where we will be working one-on-one on an interactive fitness app, builtforthestage.com. All right, let's get on to our special guest. Enough of that. I got to see numerous shows while I was over in London, one in which was Back to the Future. It was a show probably that I was looking forward to seeing the most just because growing up, I just freaking love the movies. So over here in the States, when I found out that they were doing it in London, I was like, I got to see this show. Maybe subconsciously is the whole reason I went to go see Back to the Future, but I was not disappointed. I loved the show. Afterwards, I got to connect with some of the cast, got to go out to a pub and not even have a drink in the pub, but outside of the pub across the street, while a random fox ran by in the middle of London. And then I got to go to like this VIP lounge with one of the cast members who's like the coolest. And this cast member currently is, he covers numerous roles that we'll go over in the cast, one in which is Goldie. And yeah, let's just bring him on. Please welcome to the podcast, Tavio Wright.
Hi, Tavio.
so good to see you. Have you been back to the VIP lounge since we last got together?
Yeah, actually, I've been to the one on Greek Street, which is the one where you went to, and then I've been to Dean Street just down the road just for a roast on a Sunday, and then I went to 180 Strand like a couple of weeks ago. No, last week, because I had some friends who came to watch the show, so I had to introduce them to the picantes, the spicy cocktails. I was like, come on. One of them didn't like it, though, so I just drank it, of course.
Wait, you went to a roast? Is this a London way of saying a dinner, or a roast as in, like, when you're actually poking fun at a person the entire time?
Oh, no. London way of saying dinner. It's, like, specifically, like, on a Sunday, you'd have, like, roast chicken or turkey or whatever, and then you have Yorkshire puddings, potatoes, cauliflower cheese, honestly stuns, mac and cheese, obviously got the red wine up and the cocktails, loving life. So
okay, all right, so you've been back and your experience, tell the listeners a bit about this. I told you we're going to be all over the place, not just going to be about theater and acting and stage stuff. So what's the place called, the VIP place?
Oh, Soho House.
Soho House. And they have like, how many? They have what, three locations or how many?
Well, they have like,
it's global, you said. It's global.
Well, yeah, it's pretty much global. There's literally around like Europe and North America. Yeah. So it's pretty much centralized around there. I've obviously only been to the ones around London near my work because I'm obviously really close to work. So, yeah, there's like places in New York, down in Brighton, down in the UK, in France, Spain, like all over. So,
wow. So you're a part of a very elite, very important person club, aren't you?
I mean, important person, maybe not. I don't know. I mean, I wear dungarees into work into the pub, so like, I really doubt it. But
during my intro, did you see it at the pub, that fox that ran by?
Yeah, like that's very random, to be fair. Like normally you get all those foxes in like the suburbs, like around like you know residential places, like near like just homes. That's like down away from central London is what I'm trying to say. So yeah. when we just saw one literally ran in the middle of the road, I was like, what the hell is a fox doing around here? It's like, what? It made no sense, but I was like, alas, it happens.
Yeah. All right, so Back to the Future, it's your West End debut, yes?
Yeah, it is. That show was my West End debut from last year.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
You just, the way you said it, it was like almost as if kind of like there was this other time that I.
Yeah, I don't know why I had to think about it, but it's my West End debut.
You, so before joining the cast last year, you went to school at the arts educational school, yeah? And coming out of it and booking the show, was it business as usual? Like, oh, no different than any show that I did in school? Or did you feel any added pressure of like, oh, this is it. Here we go. I'm about to make my West End debut.
Because obviously we just finished doing our showcases at Arts Ed. And it was like a new format of our showcase, because normally you do the showcase live with an audience. But because of COVID, I think they decided with us, it was the first year they did it with us, to have each of us sing two songs, a minute long and a whole song, and they will film it and then post it on their Arts Ed website for agents, casting directors, producers, whoever to watch, pretty much. Obviously when I got the call saying that I got the job, I was a little bit like, what the hell? Like, I didn't expect it at all.
Wait, run us back. You got the job by auditioning directly for the show, yeah? It wasn't that they just saw your showcase video.
No, so when I did the audition, so how I got the audition, it was literally through the head of the school at the time. So during our final few days or final few months, weeks of Arts Ed, around time our show times, like a lot of us are auditioning because the head of the school would have had like networks and contacts for us to go up and audition for certain things. And then I got an email from our head at the time saying that, oh, Back to the Future is looking for a Goldie / Marvin Berry / swing. So I was like, okay, I don't know if I really want to do the swing thing, because I remember my swing assessment, I got like a very low grade and I cried. So I was like, I could just go for it and see what happens. So I had to just do a self tape, and I think I just sung one of the Got to Start Somewhere from the show, and I also sung I'm Alive from Next to Normal. And
I love that freaking show and song.
I've not seen Next to Normal, to be fair, but I think the songs are great in there though.
I saw it on Broadway because I'm super old. You
okay. It should make a, I mean, I don't know, was it ever over in the West End? I'm not sure.
That I don't know. I'm not sure.
I don't know. Maybe research. Maybe I should research.
Okay, so sorry to interrupt. You sang those two songs for the audition.
So yeah, I sung those two songs for the audition. And then I think about a couple of days later, I was told that I got recall in an email, which was exciting. And they sent a little
recall,
bit
of, as in a callback. Recall.
Yes, a recall, callback. Yeah, of course. The difference is the language difference.
I just want to make sure that myself and the listeners are on the same page with you.
Of course, of course. So yeah, so I got a callback.
You can you can say it. I like it. You can say recall.
I just had to, it was like a dance callback, dance recall. It got me going there. So dance recall. And I was like, okay, cool. They sent like three videos of the choreography of different types, different numbers from the choreography, just like a short extract of it. Obviously they're all different now from the actual show, the actual number that we choreographed, did the routine for. They sent it. So me and my friend, who also auditioned and got the recall as well, we after school just decided to just stay in one of the studios and just pretty much like learn it beforehand, just to familiarize ourselves with it. And then the audition then took place, I think 2 days after we got that email. And it was actually really tiring, because that day we just finished learning the Jellicle Ball, because I was in Cats for my final show. So we just finished learning the Jellicle Ball and running it about, what, 3-4 times. And I'm knackered. I'm absolutely tired, wasted. And then I'm like, oh, I've got to go to this audition and hang around. Luckily, they brought the audition over into the school, so we didn't have to go anywhere external. So they used one of the new spaces that was recently installed into the school. And the audition went by really quickly, did the routines, and then they threw like another routine in the works just to see how good our pickup is, I'm guessing. And it was for 21st Century, which is like the big robotic number you remember in the opening for the act two. And
is this normal? Sorry to interrupt you. Is this normal, like, for a West End, like a casting agency? You have casting agencies, yes?
Yes.
Okay. So is this normal for a casting agency that's casting a West End show to go to a college to audition? Or is it just because Back to the Future has a lot of young people and that's how they went about looking for them?
No, I think it was pretty much normal. I think one of the things were, the reason why they brought the audition to the space at ArtsEd was because we were still in training, technically, we weren't allowed to just go off and leave during our work time. So they literally kind of like, I'm guessing because they really wanted to see what was out there and they were really looking for that specific role, that they were okay with coming and working around our time. So we still get to audition and they still get to find who they need to find without breaking our training up or interrupting our training, which was really nice. So, and it was nice to actually do the audition in a space that I was familiar with rather than an external space where I'm like, what's going on? So did the audition. There were other people there, so it wasn't just me and my friend, it was like other externals as well. People from Tina Turner, people from Thriller, and other people just in other shows or just working, whatever, who came for that audition. We also had to sing to them live and just do a little scene as well for them. And yeah, I think it went really well. Well, of course it went really well because I'm in the show, but I remember being in that audition and reading the side, and I learned it, but not properly learned it. So maybe I could have spent a bit more time with it. So I asked if I could have the script in hand. They're like, yeah, sure, that's okay. So I had the script in hand. And obviously there were moments that I was just like, oh, I don't even know where I am. And I'm just reading it. And they were like laughing, but they weren't laughing at me, but laughing with me. Probably thinking I was being in character, but generally I had no idea where I was. And then after that audition, I went home. About a week later, I left, got to school, did my rehearsals for Cats and all that and the other. Finished really early because I didn't have any other classes later that day. So I was going home at the train station and I get a call from the head of the school and he asked me if I was in the building at the moment. I was like, no, I'm on my way home. He was like, oh, well, I've got some news for you. And I just didn't put two and two together. So I was just like, oh my God, what is it? Like, is it bad news? What's going on? And then he told me, oh, you're going to be on the West End. And I was like, wait, what? And he was like, you're going to be in Back to the Future. And I was like, what the hell? I was like, this is amazing. This is terrific. I was like beaming. I screamed on that platform. People probably looked at me funnily or whatever. I called my mom. I called all my friends and family and told them the good news. Knowing that I was going into something was exciting. And at the time, I hadn't had signed with an agent yet. So I had interest and I've already spoken to a few in interviews and stuff. So the head at the time was like, you need to see who you want to sign with because I don't think I'll be able to help you out in terms of the papers and stuff like that. So I was like, okay, cool. I have someone in mind. So I contacted them the next day, my lunch break, in one of the rehearsal studios, Zoomed them, the dreaded Zoom, and I told them the good news and they're like, oh, that's amazing. And I was like, and I was just hoping if you'd be up for helping me out in that, because I'd love to be in your books for that. And now I'm signed with Belfield and Ward, they've been great. And I started the rehearsal process as a swing and I was learning pretty much learning the job on the go, and it was amazing. Like, yeah, I'm very happy with how everything kind of turned out.
Yeah. And I'm happy that when I showed up, I got to see you up there doing your thing. You've been on quite a bit for both roles. Now, educate me on this a bit. Does the normal actor have both tracks, or because you're a swing, you double as both characters? Does that question make sense?
Yeah, of course. So last year I was a swing. So with this new contract with the new cast, I've pretty much asked if I could be first cover instead of second cover Goldie and be in the ensemble. So I'd no longer have to learn all the tracks, but I do know that if they do need me to be on for somebody for in a dire situation, then I'd be like, let me speak to my agent first, but let's go. So normally I just have my ensemble track and my first cover track. The person that normally plays Goldie, he will have that, just the Goldie track, which is Marvin as well, because Goldie's just a very small part, and then he becomes Marvin in act two for a little bit. And
right. Okay, that's what I was trying to ask is,
right, yeah,
does one actor usually play Marvin and Goldie?
Yeah, yeah. So that's what the role is. So
yeah. And recently it was Back to the Future Day, October the 15th, I think. Yeah. And you got to sing with Harry Waters Jr. after the show, who was the original in the movie. He played
Marvin Berry. Yes.
Yeah.
Just played Marvin Berry in the movie. Yeah.
And what was that like to kind of represent the new age of Back to the Future?
I mean, I was a bit like, I'm surprised. I was excited. Probably my exterior. So at work, so I knew this was happening a week prior, before the actual day. And I was like, okay, cool. And obviously I told my closest friends, I'm not really meant to tell people, I told my closest friends and my family, and they're like, oh my God, that's exciting. And I was like, I know. And then on the day, everyone was like very jittery and everyone was like very bubbly. There was like an excitedness in the air. The audience was amazing. Oh my God, the audience was absolutely amazing. But I don't know, I had a very, very calm exterior, and I felt like people probably wanted me to be a little bit more like hyper, but I think how I kind of like express myself whenever anything big is happening is trying to keep a calm mindset just so I could relax myself. But internally I was really nervous. And then when it got to the bows and Bob Gale came up and did his speech and introduced Harry and also introduced me to sing Earth Angel together for the first time, like two Marvin Berries. And I was obviously in the wings, ready to go on, because I had to be in the suit, like the costume, as Marvin Berry as well. And I was like, oh my God, I don't know how it's going to go. We did a little rehearsal before, but then things just start to change. Things start to change during the actual performance. Like, it didn't go exactly the way rehearsals went. Like, Harry started crossing over to the other side of me. And I was like, oh, so we're crossing now, so let's go. And pretty much kind of just like winging it and hoping for the best, but it was amazing. It was terrific, and it was just nice to have the support of the cast and just support of the fans and the audience who obviously came to watch that day. Harry, it was such a brilliant man, and he's so lovely. He was so bubbly and excitable as well, which was just really nice, and I could see that. It was amazing. It was an experience I won't forget for sure.
Cool.
Yeah.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that With brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
All right, we're going to do something fun. We're going to put you on the BFTS hot seat. So speaking of nerves and excitement, I hope that, I hope that you have all the nerves right now. No, just kidding. All right, here we go. BFTS hot seat. First question, you walk into a room and the TV's on and there's a movie playing and you've seen this movie hundreds of times. But no matter what, you always have to stop and watch this movie. What movie is it?
Oh, God. Avengers. Avengers came to mind.
Okay. All right, Avengers. All right. You are commuting to the theater and we get to see your music playlist. What's one or two songs that are your go-to songs to, like, just get that day going?
Beyoncé's Virgo Groove in her new Renaissance album, and Living on a Dream by Meriba, which is just so, like, nostalgic to listen to. So, yeah.
All right, you're crushing this. You're crushing it. Okay, you come back to life as an animal. Which animal are you going to be and why?
A cat, because I think cats are mysterious and magical. And I feel like I might be a cat in my past life. I don't know, but okay. I would not do that.
You're not on the stage. You're not a singer, an actor, a performer. What are you doing? What are you going to do?
Something within science. I was really good in my science class. Probably like biology, perhaps, maybe chemistry, but definitely something to do with science. Definitely out of space as well. Like anything to do with like astrology and stuff is really, really exciting for me.
Okay. You have access to the car, the Back to the Future car.
Yeah.
What time and place are you going to?
Oh God. Oh my God. The '80s, the style in the '80s, just give me life. That's where I'd love to go to. The music, the style. Oh God, I'd love it. Yeah.
And what part of the world are you going to be in during the 80s?
America.
Yeah.
Definitely America. I feel like it was probably much livelier there, maybe. Maybe it's from what I've seen on TV or movies, but that's what I'd say.
Okay. last question. You're walking through the streets of London, let's say with me, and there's, you know, all the touristy places, but you want to give someone a London experience that's like on the down low, almost like we did that one night. Where else would you take someone to either eat or go to a club or go to a park, or like, what's a little gem that you love in London?
Oh my God. Right. I've only been once, but I think it's an amazing area. Camden Town.
Okay.
It's so many vintage shops. So many little quirky coffee shops as well. And there's always like food markets and stalls as well. I think Camden Town is so like along Brick Lane, so many vintage shops. And I really want to go again. In fact, I'm due for a shopping spree to go there soon anyway, because I really want to get some new stuff. But yeah, definitely Camden.
Okay. You're off the hot seat. Congratulations. Good job. let's rewind to your start in singing. When did you like, oh, I like singing, or I like being a performer? When did this all happen?
So I knew I always wanted to perform because I always liked singing from like a quite young age. My mom would say that sometimes if I'm like washing up, she'd just hear me singing and stuff. Whether I was good or not, I don't know. I mean, I hope I was good, but I must have been. But yeah, I've always been interested in singing and taking part in any sort of performances. In primary school, I took part in a Portuguese choir concert kind of thing, because we learned Portuguese as a second language in primary school. It's not that good now, my Portuguese, so. Wow. But I was able to sing certain songs in Portuguese-ish. And then I did like other events like Rhyme of the Ancient Mariner that happened in South Bank, which is an external thing that again happened during my primary school years. And then when I went to secondary school, high school, It pretty much took part in any of the summer musicals. So I did, the first musical I did was High School Musical. So the first musical that came out was actually Bugsy Malone when I joined, and I was too nervous to audition. So then the second year I auditioned for the next musical, which was High School Musical, and I got it and I played Troy Bolton and I was like, wow, winning. And then the following year we did The Wiz and I played the Scarecrow, which was again, really exciting. Also, I knew some people in the year above me who was going to the Brit School, which is like a free performing arts school within the country. It's very established. And honestly, a lot of drama schools are quite expensive. So it was just nice to have a place where it was free and there was no external payments to go and attend and train. So initially, I wanted to apply for the music course, but then I was like, I don't think I'd get in for the music course, so I'm going to apply for the musical theater course. So that's what I did, and I got it, and then I ended up falling in love with musical theater a whole lot more. The year started from Key Stage 4, so around like GCSEs time. So I started it from year 10, which is around probably like 15, 16. Yeah, so that's like the age bracket around 15, 16. And I went all the way up to sixth form, which is around like 18. So I spent 4 years there, auditioned for Art Said after I pretty much finished my 4 years training at Brit. And I didn't get in the first year, so I then took a gap year out. And in that gap year, I literally did nothing creative. I mean, I pretty much just went out all the time. I was going out clubbing, going to the bars, pubs, eating good food and just living my life and just working out what it was just like being an adult outside of school and working out if musical theatre was the path even for me, because there was a lot of doubts if I really wanted to do that. And then it wasn't until I went back and watched a show at the Brit School from one of the year belows that were doing putting on a show, and I was like, oh, actually no, this is exactly what I wanted to do. So then I re-auditioned for Art Said, and I didn't think I was going to get it because I didn't really train or anything, and then I got it and I was really surprised, but again, really, really happy as well. Actually, also at the Brit School, my final year, we did 30 Modern Millie and I played Jimmy. An agent actually came to watch that show, and the head of music in the musical theatre department spoke to me and said that they were really interested in me and if I wanted to talk to them. And I spoke to them, and they were keen to probably have me in their books. I can't remember what the agency was because it was a very, very long time ago. I believe it might be BBA, I'm not sure, or BTA, I'm not sure. But my whole process with that was that I didn't want to jump into an agency without having some sort of training. Like, I had the training at Brit, but I wanted extra training before I joined something where I felt like I wasn't too sure of myself, because there was still a lot of like self-confidence and stuff like that I was dealing with. I pretty much told them that I was very happy for them, that I was appreciative and grateful that they wanted to put me in their books.
I'm very happy for you.
I'm
happy for them. I'm very happy for them. I was very happy that you like me, but like, sorry about it.
But yeah, I pretty much said I wanted to have long-term training than having a short-term training and not know what I'm doing next. So
yeah,
I'm glad I did what I did, because it's made me and put me where I am today, which is really good. So yeah.
Yeah, that took a lot of discipline and maturity of you to make that decision, as opposed to just getting super excited and saying yes.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
All right. So before we go, thanks for your time so far. What is a day in the life that's outside of theater? So we talked a little bit about on the hot seat about your movie that you brought up, or the music. Is that what we're doing? We're chilling, watching movies and listening to music. Do you have a secret hobby of like playing badminton or lacrosse, or do you do you knit? Are you a seamstress? What other hobbies or things do you like to do outside of the theater?
Well, I'm very chilled, really. I love playing video games. I love playing video games as well.
What's a few of your go-tos that you're always playing?
The Sims 4 is one of them. Actually, I was playing that earlier today, actually. So The Sims 4, and I've got the new Gotham Knights game as well, like that Batman game.
Do you have the headset and the special seat and all that?
Oh, no. I don't like talking to... I just like playing games by myself. I know that sounds really weird, but, like, especially, like, if it's, like, an online game and then people can join your game, and I'm like, oh, why are they joining? Like, leave me alone. I'm just like, leave me alone, and I, like, silently, like, kick them out. I am generally a nice person, but I'm like, I just like to... I'm very, like, I like to do my thing my own way. And if I have to talk to people, then I'm just kind of like, oh, I've got to do it and share. I just want to enjoy my time. But yeah, I do love playing video games, going to the movies, going to the pub. I mean, I do like a bar and a club, but a pub is so just chill with your friends, just a couple of drinks, go outside and just have a few drinks and just chat and stuff.
The way that you can get a drink and then just like wander around the streets as if it's normal is just crazy. Yeah.
It is a bit bizarre, to be fair. I think it's just that pub that we went to. There are some pubs that are similar.
Near the Big Ben clock, whatever it's actually called, I can't remember. I was at a pub and same thing, that people were ordering drinks, was super busy in the pub. They'd leave outside and they weren't like at any seating. They were just like walking about the sidewalk and then they'd walk back into the pub and
yeah. It's very much it's a big drinking culture that out here,
I'm guessing. I'm telling you, you can buy at the theater's bar, you can buy wine by the bottle, which is insane. Yeah. Because in the States, on, you know, Broadway or anywhere else, you can't just buy a bottle of wine. That's absurd.
No, I know. And you know what, it's actually because when I went to see Pretty Woman, because my friend was playing Vivian, Olivia Brooks, she was playing Vivian in Pretty Woman. And honestly, I could probably tell that half of the audience were probably drunk already because it was just wild. And I could just see just glasses of wine. And so, I mean, to be fair, I'll probably buy myself a glass of red as well, to be fair. So
I'm not judging, but it's like, wow, you can buy an entire bottle. And I was at Hamilton when I saw this happen, and the people like weren't ready to finish the bottle before going back in for the second act. And the bartender's like, you can't bring the bottle, but I'll pour the whole bottle in multiple glasses for you. So these people are like triple fisting, walking into the theater with three glasses in their hands.
Yeah, no, yeah, that is very... It happens in cinemas too as well. I don't know. Does it happen in cinemas over there as well?
I don't know. I don't go to the cinema much here in the States, so I'm not sure what goes
okay.
on.
Okay, alas.
All right, Tavio, thanks so much. As expected, this was a blast. Make sure everyone that's watching or listening to give Tavio a follow on the Insta. You can find that in the description of this episode. It's Tavio_Wright. A little backstory or transparency. I've lost all control over my laptop. Everything is frozen. I can't scroll or do anything, but it is recording. That's why the hot seat logo thing has stayed there the whole time. So,
oh wow,
I'm literally just going to probably fold my laptop down and just see what happens after that. But Tavio, thanks so much. Have a great show tonight. You're fabulous up there. The show's awesome. If you're out in London, go check it out. And make sure, again, you give Tavio a follow. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Jay.
All right, everyone, actors or athletes, train like one. Later.
Later.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical, Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Suffs has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suffsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard. So you were being crucified over here, but yeah, not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.